course, surfaces in our parsha, and it's a much bigger topic even than it would have been had we had full time, but we only have half time, so we'll try to do the best that we can.
You can go a little bit over time.
What? No. This is actually my shiur room, so I can go for hours. The problem is the Talmidim, who are supposed to come in next. They may not agree. But, okay. So this week's parsha is Parshas Bishalach. And of course, in the context of Bishalach, we have the Shira. Azir Shir Moshe B'nei Yisrael Asat Shira Hazos. And this, of course, is a very unique, very singular section in the Torah, you know, one which is written differently, you know, even in terms of the Tzura, if you look at the Sefer Torah, you can see that it's composed differently. Then later on we have another Shira in the end of the Torah, but obviously the Shira is intended to be something set apart, and this, you know, is a magical moment for Klal Yisrael. It's a moment really of illumination, you know, by Yiru Ha'amas Hashem, by Aminu B'Hashem U'B'Moshe Abdo, Ozil Shir Moshe Bnei Yisrael. Once wrote in the past that there's a debate really where the Shira begins. Some people think that Ozil Shir Moshe Bnei Yisrael Shira Hazos is a Hakdama, it's the background, and that the Shira really begins with, you know, Shira Hashem Ki Gal Gaas Uskochro Ramah Vayam. Others seem to be evidence, Rambam and others, in terms of the Tzura of the Shira, that it really begins at Ashira Lashem, I'm sorry, Azir Ashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael, meaning the idea of the Shira as an expression of Emuna and the Ribbono Shel Olam is part of the Shira itself. It's not just the Hakdama or the background. Either way, the entire Shira, because it is different, because it stands out, because of the moment in which it came, when Klal Yisrael really came to a certain epiphany in the context of Yitzias Mitzrayim and everything that they had experienced, it kind of all came together at that moment. Yashir Moshe at that moment. So there's really like a, I guess, magnified importance and significance to the Divrei Shira itself. And really, when we think, when we break it down, we can't do this right now, the first real pasuk of the Shira is the pasuk that we have here, Aziva Zimraska, because it's really Azir Ashir Moshe B'nei Yisrael Asashir Azos Hashem, right? And then it's Shira Lashem Ki Ga'o Ga'a Sus Rachar Mavayam Ziva Zimraska by Hili Lishua Ze Livan Ve'u Leke Aviva Romimenu. So the previous pasuk already established, you know, by Hili Lishua. Basically, this is the background of why it is that we're giving Shira, because Ribbono Shel Olam came to our rescue, and L'dori Doros, right? It underscores the reliance that we have upon him and the reliance that we can have upon him. So then the first substantive pasuk of the Shira really is Aziva Zimraska, after Aziva Zimraska by Yeshua, is Zekeli Van Beyu Elokei Aviv Arimena. Those are the first three psukim, if you will, that identify, right, the Shira itself. And therefore these words, Zekeli Van Beyu Elokei Aviv Arimena, are of particular significance. The first Divrei Shevach, really, within the Shira that we are saying. And of course, the words themselves are challenging. Zekeli, we know what that means, this is my God. But Ve'anvehu is a strange usage. And it caught Chazal's attention. We have here in number one, Unklus Tirgeim Lashon Naveh, Naveh Shanan, Zekeli Vanvehu L'Naveh Tzon. It means, this is my God, and I will dwell with him, or I will dwell, you know, together with him. Dover Acher, this is the one we're interested in, Va'anveyu Lashon Noi. That it's a reference to beauty. It's an expression of aesthetics, right? Asaper Noyo Ushvacho. I will, you know, impart his beauty and his praise. The boy Ola. Kagon Ma Dodech Midod, Dodit Sach Ba'adom. And similarly, earlier, this is what we find in the Mechilta. V'anveyu, Rabbi Shmuel Amar v'chiyash l'basam v'dam l'hanvos kono. How can a human being, you know, be manve, beautify the Ribbono Shel Olam? Ela anvelo, this of course is the answer, b'mitzvos. The answer is through the medium which he has provided to us, Ratzon Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael, Shmek Lefika Hirbalem Toru Mitzvos. You know, so the Rebbeinu Shalom provided us with an opportunity and a mechanism to serve him. That in itself is a great gift. And through that mechanism, Torah and Mitzvos, we can adorn or beautify those expressions, and that will, by extension, kivyachol, be a way of expressing not only appreciation, but an aesthetic sense of our connection to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Anvalo b'mitzvos, esel lefano blulav na'a, sukkah na'a, tzitzis na'a, tfilah na'a, etc. And then Abishol said, Omer, adamelo, mahu rachum v'chanun afu, afato rachum v'chanun, that it really also refers to what we call imitatio dei, lehida most, trying to imitate the Rebbeinu Shalom. Imitation, as we know, is the best form of flattery, right? That's not saying, you know, that's not human wisdom, you know, from many centuries later. That's the idea, really, of mahu rachum, mahu chanun, and so on. So you basically have three interpretations. One is naveh, right? The idea that we reside with the Rebbeinu Shalom, whatever that means. Number two, zekei livaneu, right, to lihidamos. And the third one is noi mitzvah, the idea of hisnoi lefanai bimitzvos. Okay. So the question I want to deal with today, and we have very, very little time, is what is the nature of this requirement of zekei livaneu, hisnoi lefanai bimitzvos? Because one could have thought that it's a nice, but fundamentally an extraneous aspect or chiyuv. In other words, in addition to doing mitzvot properly, right, there's also a way of expressing, right, appreciation for the Rebbeinu Shalom, for giving us mitzvot and for allowing us to have a relationship with him, right, and that is to do it, you know, with enthusiasm. And one way that you express enthusiasm and initiative, frankly, is to, you know, add a personal dimension and also to upgrade your performance, you know, in the mitzvah. If I'm basically a mitzuvah and I have to do things and I do them, you know, kind of out of necessity or duress, or even if it isn't duress, maybe that's too strong a word, if I just do them because they're obligatory, right, then you do the minimum, right? And if you're really enthusiastic and there's an appreciation that this is an opportunity, right, then you find ways that excitement spills over, right, in the quality of how you do the mitzvah. But one could have said that that's a general and it's peripheral to any particular mitzvah, but it's a general idea of zekei livaneu. And that certainly is the view that is reflected in many of the makoros. The problem with that view is that, number one, it doesn't necessarily dovetail with the centrality of this din, as we just explained it, in terms of the Shira, but that's not so terrible. Moreover, it raises an interesting question, a question that the Rav once raised in the name of his father. Others have raised this question, and that is, why do we not find anywhere that Zekei Livaneu, Hisnoi Lefanav B'Mitzvos, why do we find that that's not, why do we never find that to be a mitzvah in its own right? In the Minyan Taryag, no one counts Zekei Livaneu as a mitzvah. So rather, it seems like there may be another approach that kind of catapults his snow, the fun of the mitzvahs, into something more significant and more important. And this is certainly reflected in a couple of makoros, particularly for Rashi and the Rambam, and that's what I want to spend a couple of minutes examining. So let's look at number three. The Mishnah says in Masachet Sukkah, the yeshiva this year is learning Masachet Sukkah, although in this room, in my shiur, we happen to be learning Masachet Shavuos, but Masachet Sukkah is a very, very important source, you know, for the din of Zekei Livaneu. And what's fascinating is that according to Rashi, it's even a much more central concern than one might have thought. The Mishnah says, "Lulav agazel v'hayavesh." A stolen lulav, a yavesh, a dried up lulav. We're interested in the dried up lulav for the moment. It's pasul. Then the Mishnah goes on and lists other psukim. The Gemara goes on to say, if you look at the Gemara part two lines down, kapasuk v'tani lo shnav yom rishon, lo shnav yom tivsheni, It doesn't matter whether we're talking about Yontif Rishon or Yontif Sheni. Either way, Yavesh is pasul. Says the Gemara, Vishlama Yavesh, Hadar Be'ina and Veled. Our number of Psula mentioned in the Mishnah. Yavesh, the fact that it is pasul, not only on the first day of Yom Tov Sukkot, but even on the other days, makes a lot of sense. Because Hadar Be'ina and Veled. The Torah says about Esro in particular, pre-eights Hadar, right? That's what an Esrog is. And since it says Hadar, so a Esrog, a Yavesh, is not Hadar, right? And therefore, Be'ina and Veled, and therefore it disqualifies. Apparently, the assumption is, and this is consistent with the Gemara's comments in this parak, that even though the Torah describes Esrog particularly as Hadar, the idea of Hadar, the standard of Hadar, when it is something that applies to all of the Dalet meaning. Okay. The problem is that Rashi, commenting on Lulav HaYavesh being puzzled in the Mishnah, says, "Debeinan mitzvah behuderes, dechsiv ve'anveyu." So instead of the Gemara itself says that the basis is creates Hadar, and the requirement of Hadar, which is a special dinin, Dalet minim, and Rashi instead invokes Zekeli Vanveyu, which we know does apply to the Dalet Minim. Gemara says that in Shabbos, and the Mechilta that we read says Asalafana Blulavnoa, Sukkanoa, Titisnoa, Tvilanoa. So both on the list of the Mechilta and the list of the Gemara, Lulav is included. That Zekeli Vanveyu applies to the Dalet Minim is not surprising, but that should be the basis for Lulav HaYavesh being Pasul is very shocking. And it's shocking for two related reasons. Number one, because the Gemara already gives a reason. Be'inan hadar v'leka. That's something very specific to the Dalet Minim. Moreover, as the Bali Tosas ask, Tosas here says, Lulav HaYavesh Pasul, Befarish B'Gemar B'Shem De'iskesh Lulav La'esrog, Tosa says two things. Number one, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says Hadar. And number two, how can Zekeli Vanveyu be ma'akev? It's a lechatchila. It's a mitzvah. But where do we find that it is a sine qua non, that it's going to be an obstacle for the kiyum mitzvah if you don't have it? Kinebucha perakama. The Gemara says, we'll read this Gemara in just a second, that the requirement to put to bind the minim together, an eged, is based on Zekeli Vanveyu. And the whole point is that there's a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda says that lulav tzarech eged, and if you don't have an eged, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. The Rabbanan, which we paskin like, say mitzvahs, La'ogdo, it's a mitzvah namufkar based on Zekeli Vanveyu, and it's not ma'akev. So you see that even within the confines of lulav itself, right, that Zekeli Vanveyu is not ma'akev. Right? Lo'ogdo kosher. Vavish tahacha in lepar. And then Tosis goes on to give zone to analyze the problem of Yavish. The question is, what do we do with Rashi? I think that the answer can be found, or parallel to this answer, can be found in the Ravid, of all people. If you look at number 4, so the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and the parallel Gemara on Lamed Gimel in Sukkah, discusses the problem of whether or not you need an eged or not. The Gemara says, Yibay Seima, Yisvirlan, the Lulav Tzarech Eged, Kulamala, Pligid Yalfina, Lulav Misukkah, Hocha Bahokam Iflagi, Mar Savar Tzarech Eged, Mar Savar Ein Tzarech Eged. Does lulav require an eged, or not? So the Gemara says, "Bepluta dehani tanoim." It's a machlokas tanoim. The Tanya, lulav bein agud bein shein agud kasher. Rabbi Yehuda omer agud kasher, sheino agud pasul. There's a debate whether or not if lulav doesn't have an eged, is it pasul or not? My tamid Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, "Yalef lekicha lekicha beagudas ezov." Ksiv hasam b'lakachta agudas ezov in the context of paraduma. Uksiv hacha u'lakachtam lachem b'yom harishon. Ma lahalan ba'aguda afka nami ba'aguda. Both of them require, right, a binding together. V'rabbanan lekicha melekicha loyafina. They don't have this drasha. So then the Gemara says, k'man oz lahadetanya lula mitzvah la'amdo v'im lo agdo kasher. Who's the mandamar who said that there's a mitzvah to be ma'aged the minim? But if you don't do it, b'di'eved, it's not ma'akev. Irab Yehuda kilo ogdo amai kasher. Rabbi Yehuda says it's ma'ake. Irab banan amai mitzvah. They don't, where's the makar? Says the Gemara, li olam rabbanan he mishum shenemar zekei liban beyu hisna lefana b'mitzvah. This is the Gemara that Tosis was referring to, that the Rabbanan hold that Eged is based on Zekeli, and it's not Ma'ake. So why am I quoting this now? What are the Chachamim who disagree, I'm sorry, what is Rabbi Yehuda who disagrees with the Chachamim and says that Eged is Ma'ake? What does he hold? So the simple reading of the Gemara is that this Lekicha Lekicha Me'aguda Seizo, that there's some other limud which teaches you that there's a requirement, the little Tzorek Eged, this has nothing to do with Zekeli Nanvei. However, the Raivin in Kosuv Sham, the Raivin wrote, Hasagos on the Rif, and he wrote Hasagos on the Balamor. So they're printed on the Rif. So in the context of dealing with this problem, with this Gemara, actually a little bit out of, not on the actual Sugi in Aleph and Beis, but the Sugi in Daf Yud Gimel, you just have to have bumped into it and appreciate it, says the following words. The Agida Nami Lo Ma'akva, Eged is not Ma'akev, according to the Rabbana. And then he says, "Ve'afil Rabbi Yehuda de Amar Gabe Lulav Ma'akva." Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it says Eged is Ma'ake ben Lulav. Hasam who denafkale mitzvah gida mizakeli van veyu asya kicha kicha la'akev. Aba Lulav, aba legabe ezov zereshav de kicha kicha la mitzvah. Rabbananami yalfila de nehi de lulav me ezov lo yafinan, and so on. Basically, the Rabbi says something very remarkable. He says, "Agudas ezo," in his opinion, in Paradumas, it's not Ma'akev, the Eged. It's only Ma'akev and Lulav. How can it be Ma'akev and Lulav if it's derived from Aguda Seizov? But again, this is the Ravid's view. So the Ravid says, oh, simple, because like the Rabbanon said, the reason you have to be Ma'aged a Lulav to begin with is because of Zekeli Van Veyu. So the Aguda Seizov kind of elevates it, then it's Ma'akev. What is the Raivid saying? In other words, simple pshat is that this is machlokas rabbi to the chachamim, whether eged lulav is ma'akev or just a mitzvah. If it's just a mitzvah, it's a keli van beyu, and if it's ma'akev, it has nothing to do with a keli van beyu, has to do with aguda seiz. The chiddush of the Raivid is that bein l'rabbi Yehuda, bein l'rabban, on the basis of aguda seiz, I'm sorry, a basis of lulav tzarech eged is a keli van beyu. The only question is it ma'akev in this case or not? If that's the case, then we can go back to Rashi and suggest a parallel. I mean, Rashi knew the Gemara, it's the next line of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Be'inan hadar v'leka. Rashi also knows that typically, we'll see some exceptions in a moment, that Zekeli Vandeyu is not Ma'akev. Tosis knows it, Rashi knows it just as well. Obviously, what Rashi may have had in mind here, there are many answers are given in the Achronim, but what I'm suggesting, that Rashi understood the following, and that is that Zekeli van Veyu, right, isn't just a nicety. It isn't just, oh, that's really a nice thing to do. Hisnoa lefanai b'mitzvahs, Zekeli van Veyu. But rather, Zekeli van Veyu is a significant approach to mitzvahs generally, and potentially is something that defines or is an added kiyum in particular mitzvos as well. In all of them, or at least in those that are conducive, right, to the aesthetic element being important. So the way Rashi understood it was, when the Gemara says that Be'inan Hadar Baleka, and especially since we're extending beyond Esrog to the other Minim, the way to understand the Gemara is that there's a din of Noi in the Dalet Minim, Zekei Livan Be. Normally that would not be Ma'akev. But since the Torah writes Hadar in this context, thank you. In this particular context, the Torah also writes Hadar, so the idea is that it's Ma'akev. What it tells us is that the Zekeli van Beyu, which is an important, but usually not a Ma'akev element generally, when it comes to Dalet Minim, the aesthetic element is greater. And here it's Ma'akev. Here it's a kiyum in the Dalet Minim itself. It takes it from being a din klali to being a din prati, and more so, a din prati, which is Ma'akev. Or maybe it takes it from a din prati we'll see in a moment, which is not ma'akev to din prati, which is ma'akev. In other words, zakeli banveyu has the potential sometimes to redefine, the always maybe defines the quality of the mitzvah, and some cases, ad kedei kach, that it's ma'akev. And that's what the Ravid also means about Rav Yehuda. Rav says mitzvah, the Chacham say mitzvah la'agdo, and Rav Yehuda says it's ma'akev. Not because he thinks it's disconnected from zakeli, but because he thinks the kicha kicha mi'agudas ezov establishes that when it comes to dalad minim, when it comes to the lul in particular, that the aesthetic component is ma'akev. The truth is that this works very well, since we have limited time, I'll just make a few quick points about this. This works very well with some gemaras. The gemara, I'm not going to read it right now, but number 6 is about the sugya of dichui, right? Dichui b'mitzvos. So the concept of dichui b'mitzvos is that if you have a mitzvah, there's all sorts of details to talk about in this, namely, there's something called dichui meikara, and you know, nira v'nidcha, but the basic idea is when you have a chepzishol mitzvah, which is ready to go, and then for some reason it gets off track, you know, it develops some sort of a disqualification, that the fact that there was a disqualification, you know, within the time or the, you know, timeline of the mitzvah, that might be a disqualification that is permanent. In other words, the fact that at one point this was excluded for performing the mitzvah, that itself determines the din that it's pasul legam. That's the concept of dichui b'mitzvahs. The question is, what defines the moment of relevance of dichui? Can't be too soon, can't be too late. It's a very interesting, tricky thing. I wish we could talk more about it. Like, if the mitzvah's ready to go too early, and then it develops a psul, and then the psul goes away, and then you hit the zman mitzvah, that's a dichui. Right? There has to be at least what we'll call a shem chafsa shal mitzvah. If you have a chafsa shal mitzvah, then it's nidcha, you can talk about the sugya of dichui. So when the Gemara talks about dichui in Lula ben Esrog, here in number 6, lema ketanoi, over v'likton, pasul, let's say you had berries on the minim, so it was pasul, divir abelazar, matzadik, hacham rachshirim, savur dekula alma lula, ein sorcheged, v'imtib slomar tzorcheged, lo yafina lula misukka, v'siv tasa v'lo mena asim. Says the Gemara, my lab b'hoka mitligi, man de pasul savar, meaning yesh dichui in mitzvos, man de machu savar, lo amin dichui etzal mitzvos, lo, dekula alma, lo amin dichui etzal mitzvos, v'hoka kamiflegi, b'lul besukka kamiflegi. Then the Gemara discusses, do we learn lul of tzukka, what about lul of tzorcheged, etzal. So the question is, what's koveya for dichui? And there seems to be evidence, at least for some Rishonim, including Rashi, that if, even though lulav ain't tzorech eged, because we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like the Rabbanan, it's only a mitzvah and a mofchar, if you're ma'aged, the lulav, right, together, that's what's koveya, that gives it the status of chefza shal mitzvah, vis-a-vis the din of dichui. But it's only l'chatchila. It's only an aesthetic nicety. If we were to assume that it's an extraneous aesthetic nicety, not something that integrates into the chalos of the mitzvah itself, why would that be koveya for dichui? Moreover, the sugya mem vav amud aleph, this next raya is a raya that the Rav once mentioned. Do I have a mem vav amud aleph somewhere?
Nine.
Okay, good. Ha'ose lulav li'atzmo, right? Omer bar shechiyana v'kimana v'giyana lazman hazeh. Not lulat seisbo. Omer baruch asher kedishana b'mitzvosa b'tzivanu al netilas lulav. What does ose lulav li'atzmo mean? If a person makes a lulav for himself, he says shechiyana. We don't typically do this anymore. But then the Rambam in Perek Yudalef Hilchos Brachos, if you look here at number 10, Kol mitzvah she'asiyasa gmar chiyuva mevarech b'shas asiya. Kol mitzvah she'esh achar asiya tzivui achar eina mevarech el b'shas she'osa tzivui ha'achra. Ketzad, osa sukkah, o lula, o shofar, o tzitzis, o tefillin, o mezuzah, eina mevarech b'shas asiya asher ketshan tzosu v'tzivanu la sukkah o lulav. She'yesh acharei asiyah acher, which is the netilas lulav. But then the Rambam says, however, if you look at halacha tes, the next little piece, v'im lo birech al sukkah v'lulav kiyotzu v'shechayon v'shas asiyah, v'varech aleim shechayon v'shas yotzei de chovasa, which is what we typically do. Typically, we make the shechayonu on the Dalad Minim and the first time that we pick them up. But according to the Din of the Gemara, that the Rambam is alluding to, you can do it when you're osasa. What does osasuka mean? Osasuka, when he plants it, when he cuts it off the tree? It's not 100% clear, but some of the Mepharshim suggest that it means when you're ma'aged the Minim together. Okay, if we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that would certainly make a lot of sense. But if we paskin like the Rabbanan, and it's only Zekei Liban Deyu, why should that be the Zman of Shechiyanu? Right? Just like why should it kovea for the Dechia? This idea is particularly pronounced in the Rambam. The Rambam has two halachos which establish his view that Zekei Liban Deyu is a critical quality, qualitative component in the mitzvahs themselves. If you look here at the Rambam, Hilchos Lulav, Perek Zayin Halacha Vav, this is number 12. Rambam says, mitzvah min ha-mubchar. What does mitzvah min ha-mubchar mean? L'chatchila, right? A preferable state of the mitzvah. Legod lulav hadas varava, to bind the lulav hadas on the arava. V'lasos shloshtan aguda achas, and to make all three one. Okay. That's the din of lulav tzarcheged. Mitzvah min ha-mubchar. What's it based on? The Gemara says clearly, Zekei Liban Vei. Ukeshu notlam lotzis behen, debarech tchila, right, on the tilas lula, hol v'kulan smuchim, and so on. That's the Rambam. Now continue with Halacha Zayin. This is a very remarkable Rambam. The Rambam says, kama notlam mehen. Lula v'echad, esrog echad, shnei badei arava, shlosha badei hadas, bimratza lahosif bahadas kedei shetia aguda gedola, mosiv noi mitzvahu. It's also interesting. If you want to add many hadasim, the Rambam's view is that you could do that, and that would be, because it's noi, because it adds to the beauty of the mitzvah, that wouldn't be a problem, as we'll see, a baltosif. Aval sharaminim, ein mosifin al minyanam, the ein gorin mehen. You're not allowed to have more or less, meaning not more of the number that you're supposed to have. Let's say two lulavim, or two esrog, or two esrogim, or more than two aravos, right? You're not allowed to have, or less. The imhosif ogara, we're going to assume that the proper girsa for the moment is pasal. The reason we're going to assume that is because the Raivan assumed that, and also because since it says gara, if you detract from it, seems like that should be pasal, right? So probably the right girsa is pasal. Okay, what does the Rambam say? The Rambam's mechadesh, something that doesn't appear in the Gemara, and that is that hadasim aside, if you add to the number of the minim, right, then you are going to violate baltosif. So the Raiva, Hasogas Raiva, the Raiva says, Avoshar mine me mosifin al minyanim, en gorim, en mosif agar apostle, Omer Avram, lo shamati me'olam paslus bazeh, velo iso tosefes vigirua. Says, where do we find that you're not allowed to add to the numbers of the minim? What we do find in the Gemara is a discussion whether you can add minim achim. Like if you want to bring an orange and a grapefruit, you know, or some other branch, that could be a problem of baltosif, right? But the idea of adding within the minim, and then he adds, Vafil Rav Yehuda, da amar lulav tzarech eged. Even according to him, there shouldn't be a problem of being mosif within the minim. Da amar Rava, my tamid Rav Yehuda, da amar im yog lulav ela b'mino. Rav Yehuda said, you need eged. And Rav Yehuda said something else. What is eged made out of? It has to be made out of the minim of the dalad minim. Why? Kasavar lulav tzarech eged. Since you need an eged, the agid baba minachrina havale mosif. Like let's say he takes a rubber band, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Right? That's not appropriate. Or maybe it has to be something closer to the real. Because you need it, right? And you need only four minim, so this would be the chlal, the chikotale besivu beikrin dikla. But let's say he used a piece of lulav to bind it. Leka mosif, Afagav diketzvei milulav echad, but then you'd have more than one lulav. So you see that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you're mosif within the minim themselves, not a problem. Is that a good raya? Probably. It doesn't seem like such a good raya. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Ravid, but it doesn't seem like such a good raya. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to have an eged, and it has to be made out of something. Right? So of course it has to be made either out of something else or one of the minim. It's hard to say, therefore, you know, that in general, if you decide to add on your own, that that would be the same thing. But okay. But then he adds, V'kosher kein l'rabbanan d'amra ein tzarek eged. V'arminin hai l'chudei kai v'hai l'chudei kai. If lulav ein tzarek eged, then what brings these things together anyway? So let's say you have seven arabas. Right? But lulav ein tzarek eged. So you basically have two arabos, and then you have five more. Why should they ruin the two? That's the argument of the Ravid. This argument of the Ravid is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the next Gemara on number 13. I'll let you look at that on your own. Where the Gemara does seem to say that there's a bigger problem about Tosif for Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're binding everything together. So within the Eged, you have the wrong numbers. Let's say you have another Min or something. Right? But according to Rabbi Yehuda, everything is, they're not really together anyway. So if you have seven arabos, or you have another min, it's not together anyway. So how can the Rambam say, the Rambam paskins like, not like Rabbi Yehuda, the Rambam paskins like the Rabbanan, that what? That lulav tzarech eged only based on mitzvah b'bchar zeh keli b'andeyu. So how can he, number one, it's against the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and number two, how can he justify this psak? However, it isn't really against the Gemara in Sanhedrin, at least probably not the way the Rambam read it. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, since you need to bind the eged, bind the dalet minim, so basically you need to bind the dalet minim, and therefore whatever is inside that that eged, right, is a problem if it's the wrong configuration, right? And the Gemara says, but according to the Rabbanan, we don't need to bind the eged, so then ha'ilchu dekoy v'ha'ilchu dekoy. Probably the way the Rambam read the Gemara was, if you don't hold like the Rabbi Yehuda, and you don't have to have an eged, so in theory you could have a case where there's no eged, and then ha'ilchu dekoy v'ha'ilchu dekoy. But what happens if you take more than the number, let's say you take seven aravos, right, and you do bind it together according to the Rambam, according to the Chachamim? That's what? Zekeli banveyu, mitzvah min amuvchar. Does the mitzvah min amuvchar create one chepza, which then makes bal tosif? So the Rav Zatzal used to say in the name of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that that's how he understood the Rambam. Now what the Rambam meant was, even though it's a mitzvah min amuvchar, when you do it, it changes the quality of the mitzvah. It becomes one chepza shel mitzvah. And as one chepza shel mitzvah, it's now bal tosif. But when you take a step back and think about it, how could that be? After all, Zekeli Bandeyu is a universal din. It's a very nice expression of your, you know, the aesthetic quality of the performance of mitzvos. But on the other hand, we saw already in Rashi, we saw in the Ravid, now it seems like we're seeing in the Rambam that it's much more than that. That Zekeli Bandeyu is a perspective on the occasionally on the performance of individual mitzvos, and it's a transformative perspective at that. And if this is the case, we can also appreciate another Rambam. The Rambam says in Halacha Ches, look at this. This is again in 12. Kama shir orech kol min mehem, lulav ein pachos mi'arba tvachim, v'mayaroch kol shehu kasher. Like there's a size for the minim. So the lulav has to be four tvachim. U'medidaso mishedro bilvad, lo mirosh ha'alim, Hadas v'areba ein pachos migimel tvachim. Okay, but then the Ram says, "Im hayaruchim kol shem ksheirim, afil emichol bad bad alegimol olin lachin ksheirim husheb rosh shabbat." Meaning, the lulav has to be four tvachim, and the others have to be three. Then he adds, "V'im agad halulav tzarech sheyashedro shalulav yotzei min ahadas v'areba tefachol yoser." There's no Gemara that says this. Rambam says, if you bind the minim together, then in addition to being four tefachim, the lulav also has to be a tefach bigger than the other minim. Let's say the other minim aren't three. Let's say they're four. But they have a big hadassim and a rabbos. So then the lulav has to be five. Why? We don't pass the lulav tzorachek yet. It's a sekeli vandeyu. But if we explain the Rambam Baltosev, if what we're saying is that the mitzvah lamufkar is a different perspective on the mitzvah itself, then we understand exactly what's going on here. So this idea really comes to a climax in a way, but in a very complex way, which I don't have time to develop. I just want to speak about it for a couple of minutes. In a very interesting exchange, in a very interesting argument between the Rambam and Rashi and the Tur and the Rambam, which then became a huge argument among the Achronim to explain. So let me just get into what that is. Before I go, I'm just going to mention one other makar, because again, we're building Rashi and the Rambam. What is the eged that you require in Lulav Tzarech Eged Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar? So Rashi, number 7, Paligalei, says, Belulav Ein Tzarech Eged, Shamina Mehacha, Debi'inim Belulav Kesher Gomor, Sheyikshar Shnei Rashi HaEged, Va'ogdim Kaguda Shogerek, Lag Egedu. Rashi and Daf Lamed Gimel Beis suggests that even though we paskin Belulav Ein Tzarech Eged, the quality of the Eged for purposes of Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar, right, has to be a Kesher Shayam. And that's what the Mordechai says as well, number 8. Lulav mitzvah la'ogda lo'ogda kosher kosov ra'im. That's Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi. Rabbi Lozer Mimitz. Sorry, the Ra'im. The tzarech shiagdenu beis ksharim ze al ze. And then he goes on to say that the Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Again, the Rav thought that this is a raya also to this notion that zekeli vandeyu, even though it's only lechatchila, is something that integrates, or the quality of which changes the mitzvah. But this particularly comes to a head in the following issue. The Gemara says in Shabbos, and Kuflam and Gimelam and Beis, this is number 60. The Mishnah says in Shabbos that on Kuflam Gimelam and Aleph, that you can do whatever you need to do for a bris milah on Shabbos. If the mila bizmano comes out on Shabbos, we'll just give you another 2 minutes to finish up. Then basically, you can do whatever you need to do. So the Gemara says, you know, you can do this, you can do that, you can do this, you can do everything. Says the Gemara, Mechdik Tani Kulu. The Mishnah lists everything. The Mila, the Priya, the Metzitza, the Asplanis. So, Kol Tzorche Mila Lasuyema. Why does that say Kol Tzorche Mila in addition? So the Gemara says, Lasuye Hodetan Rabbanon Hamol Kolzman Shuosik B'Mila Chozer Bein Ala Tzitza Namakvinas Amila Bein Ala Tzitza Sheimakvinas Amila. But Piresh Al tzitzin ma'akvinas amila chozer, al tzitzin she'ein ma'akvinas amila eino chozer, which means there are in the process of doing the mila, there are certain pieces that you have to cut off, otherwise it's not considered a proper mila. There are other pieces that lechatchila you should cut off. So the rule is, if you do them all together, even on Shabbos, that's fine. And piresh, if you stop after doing the minimum, but you can't go back to get the other strands. So the Gemara says, "Man tana pirush ein chozer." Who's the mandamar who says that ein chozer once you stop, that you can't go back for the tzitzin she'ein makdin? Says the Gemara, "Amar Rabbi Chuda, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shmuel benos Rabbi Yochanan brokahi." The Tanya Yudalit shecholios b'Shabbes mafshitas apeshach chala chazer. Rabbi Shmuel benos Rabbi Broka chakom mafshitin es kula. The Gemara wants to bring a proof from Korban Pesach, Shekolios B'Shabbos. You have to try to minimize the Chilul Shabbos. So you do the Hafshata only till you get to the part that you need to do, and you don't do more. So the Gemara says the key line. Ad kan lo komran, maybe that's not a good rhyme. Because Ad kan lo komran, Bishwal ben Hoshab, Yochim ben Bracha, Hasa, Mishum de lo Be'inan, right? Zekeli ban Beyu. Abel Hacha de Be'inan, Zekeli Beyu, Hachanami. The Gemara says, Tzitzin She'enan Ma'akbinus Amila is part of the mitzvah of Zekeli Vanvei. So in the case of Psachim, you can only do the minimum and not more because there's no Zekeli Vanvei. But here there's Zekeli Vanvei. So two things are important. Number one, the Gemara has a Havamina that Zekeli Vanvei would justify Chil Shabbos, or extending a Maisa Mila b'Shabbos, you could get the minimum with the Tzitzin Shematrinus Amila, right? Certainly when you're actually doing it, you are allowed to complete the process. They say, oh, because that's Maisa Echad, or even then it's a Chiddush that Zekainli allows that. But the Gemara thought that even more than that, even if Piresh, even if you finish the process, and the Maisa seems to be over, you'd be able to be Chozer on Shabbos and do the Zekainli Van Beyu. Wow. So the Gemara says, maybe another Makar. Abelhacha debin zakeli beveyu. Achanami detanya zakeli bandeyu. It's snow in front of the mitzvahs. Hasik sukkana, lulavna, shofrana, tzitzisna, sefer torana, right? Ksov bolishmo bedyona, bekumosna, bevad, uman, belavla rather, uman, korcho bishurai naim, and so on. Oh. So basically, let me just conclude with that. There, what emerges is a very important debate between Rambam on one side and Rashi Tur and Rama on the other. This is what all the Achronim speak about. The Rambam was of the opinion that the Maskana of the Gemara, the idea that Piresh, if you stop in the Bris Mila and you don't do the Tzitzin HaMa'akvin and you only do the Tzitzin HaMa'akvin and not the Tzitzin She'en Ma'akvin, so the Rambam Zula Halacha in Perek Beis of Chosmila, which we have here, just look at 17, Hamol Kol Zman She'osek B'mila Chozer Bein al tzitzin shema'akvin, bein tzitzin she'en ma'akvin. Piresh al tzitzin ma'akvin chozer, al tzitzin she'en ma'akvin ein chozer. The Rambam paskins this in Hilchos Mila, not just on Shabbos, but on Chol. The Rambam's view is that if you don't do the tzitzin she'en ma'akvin, the Zekeli ones, on time, then you can never do them. And Rashi in the Tur and the Ramah disagree. They say that it's only on Shabbos that you can't go back because it's a Shabbos problem. But otherwise, you could complete the Zekeli Ben Beyu afterwards. So the Beis Halevi in a famous tshuva, and Rav Belville in Hilchos Chanukah, there's a counterattack in the tshuvas of the Pri Yitzchak in Simin Chelet Beis Simin Lamed, Rav Itzel of Petterberger, they have this basically raging argument, and that is, and this will conclude, just to analyze it for a minute, but it really is a whole topic. Can Zekeli Van Beyu ever be disconnected from the Maisa or maybe from the Chepza Shel Mitzvah? Can you ever add the aesthetic element after the fact? And the Rambam's view seems to be that Zekeli Van Beyu only applies in the context of performing the Mitzvah itself. Whether it's the Maisa, the Chepza, that we'll leave for another time. But if you didn't, right, at the time, and it's considered to be a new moment, let's, if you will, you cannot add Zekeli Ben Beyu after the fact. And Rashi and the Tur and the Ramah seem to disagree. Either they think that the mitzvah somehow is still at play and extends, that's how the Beis Halevi understands it, or they, more fascinating, they acknowledge the mitzvah's over, the Maisa mitzvah's over, and nonetheless you can add to the aesthetics. So it's interesting on the one hand, because the Rambam, we saw, is the one who extends Zekeli Ben Beyu, right? Why would he limit it then, right, if he's so machmir on Zekeli Ben Beyu? But the answer is, he had no sense. That's exactly the point.
The Rambam's view... itself.
What?
Because it's part of the kiemitz itself.
Exactly.
And if the kiemitz is over,
exactly,
we're done.
The Rambam's view was that aesthetic... Because remember, think of it this way. In the end of the day, if you didn't know the process, let's say a bris mila, right? It's a tzitzin she'en ma'akvin. So let's say you weren't there. You weren't there in the first minute and last minute. You just look at this little baby, right? So in terms of the beauty of his bris mila, let's say, is there any difference if it was piresh or lo piresh? Right? Right? If you don't know the history, then you can't tell. The aesthetic, which is disconnected from the mitzvah, is equal. But the tremendous chiddush in the Shita of many Rishonim is that Zekeli Ben Beyu isn't separate aesthetics. It's an aesthetic element which transforms or which becomes part of the chalos of the mitzvah itself. And maybe depending on the nature of different mitzvahs and their sensitivity to it, Ritzui of Lulav and Sefer Torah, Shem Hashem, the Gemara Gittin Daf Chav seems to say also that might be Ma'akev. Right? There are certain areas of halacha, even more than others, where this might be ma'akev or where it is a chalos. But the point is that in aesthetics, which is disconnected from the performance or the chafzah shel mitzvah, is just that. It's just noi b'alma. For that very same reason that when it is integrated into the mitzvah, not only is it a kiyum and zakei livan beyu, but the kiyum of zakei livan beyu ends up redefining the nature and the character of the mitzvah itself. So let me just finish with what we began. The first real assertion in the Shira is zakei livan beyu, alakei aviv arom imenu. And you might think, well, you know, aesthetics very nice. You know, we go to museums, we enjoy it. You know, it's a part of the finer things of life. But it's much more than that. It's the idea that zakei livan beyu, right, redefines the way we look at the opportunity to perform Torah and mitzvahs. It's the personal element. It's the enthusiasm. It's a recognition that zakei livan beyu, that noi itself is part of and expressed most powerfully and acutely in the context and in the framework of Torah and mitzvahs. And that is a very powerful, perfect first statement. Zakei livan beyu elokei avi barovin. Thank you very much.
Wait, so when is the Rashi Rama actually hold?
Sorry?
What did Rashi Rama actually hold then?
What do they hold?
Yeah.